around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, June the 29th, 2020. It's always a great joy to be with you. We are humbled that you would allow us to come into your home, your automobile, your place of business, wherever that you might be, and suffer the voice of evangelism to come in and to minister God's most holy word. Amen. We have been talking about this new series, When God Heals Thy Wounds and Thy Bruises. When God heals your wounds and God heals your bruises. Many of you, regretfully, throughout the years, have been hurt. You have suffered unjustly. But that is because the hand of God is upon your life. When God's hand is on your life, regretfully and without doubt, Satan will seek to impede, to encroach, to do everything that he can to hinder your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be dismayed or become disgruntled or filled with anxiety or trepidation concerning the pain and the suffering and the trial and the heat, the fervency of the trial is just a part of being a child of God here in this end time hour. I want to invite you, I want to profusely encourage you to pray with me and fast with me November the 1st. November the 1st is a Sunday. We want to fast 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. The election will be on November the 3rd, Tuesday. So whatever time you eat dinner Sunday, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I'm asking you to fast until that same time on Tuesday. Just 2 days. If you cannot fast 2 days, fast 1 day. Or fast numerous meals with us and spend a half an hour to an hour in prayer during this fast. And beseech the Lord humbly but yet boldly, invoking his blessings and asking him to put the right person into the office of the presidency of these United States and also our United States senators and United States congressmen. We need God to prevail. This nation, regrettably, is hanging on by a mere thread. America is in one of the most tenuous places and dispositions it has ever been. I got my book out yesterday, Set the Trumpet to Thy Mouth, a book that David Wilkerson wrote in 1985, which would make that book 35 years old. And you remember I shared with you some weeks ago how the Lord dropped two words into my spirit. Suddenly, unexpectedly. As I opened up David Wilkerson's book, Set the Trumpet to Thy Mouth, on the first page of the book, not the foreword, but the first page of the book, David Wilkerson used those two words, sudden and unexpectedly, the destruction of America. The Holy Spirit put in my heart weeks ago, events, circumstances would take place suddenly and unexpectedly. Was telling Stephen this morning in the office how synchronous the unity of the Holy Spirit of God. Same identical words, same identical words. Is that by happenstance? Is that by chance? No. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Are you listening? Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying right now? Right now. Are you listening? You're going to see greater trouble in America. You're not only going to witness it in the arena of politics, but what Neil Gorsuch and John Roberts did on Monday, June the 15th, 2020, is going to eviscerate Christian institutions. Christian institutions. I did a video, a short video, a couple weeks ago about this. If you are homosexual, if you are transgender, LGBTQ, you cannot be terminated or fired from your job. Now, what you're going to witness, if the news media would even dare let us know, you're going to see an explosion, an exponential explosion in churches, denominations, synagogues, daycares, institutions that are Christian. And here's what's going to happen. The homosexuals are going to come out, but now you cannot fire them or terminate them. You will witness ministers of music coming out in mega churches and saying, I am a sodomite, I am queer, but you cannot fire me. You're going to see professors in purported Christian colleges do the same thing. You're going to witness it in Christian daycares, Christian schools. They're going to come out. They're going to say, you cannot fire me. And it's going to eviscerate the nominal church as you see it. And that's the very reason Revelation 18:4 says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her plagues. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know about the reconvening of the Methodist denomination, but there was a faction that rose up and said, we've had enough. They were to have held their conference, their assembly, whatever you want to call it, in the month of May. And, of course, COVID negated that, but they were going to split over homosexuality. Can you imagine going to church this coming Sunday morning? The pastor stands in the pulpit and says, I am now going to declare myself an open homosexual. And the church says, well, we don't want you. We're going to let you go. Guess what? You can't. Supposedly two conservative Supreme Court justices, one justice, the other the chief justice, sided with the four liberals. I said, we're going to give you this right. We're going to give you this privilege. Folks, this is why I keep telling you, we're not where people are saying we are. The falling away is going to grow exponentially. Exponentially. It's going to keep growing and growing and growing and growing. And then we're going to become so debased, so rotten, so vile, so wicked. The Antichrist will be revealed. The false prophet will be revealed. And many will accept him and many will embrace him. We're getting further and further away from God. We're getting deeper and deeper into sin. And these hirelings, let me say this today. There, you know, everybody today, and that is a rhetorical statement. Everybody today has a microphone and a camera, and they're on YouTube, they're on video, they're on this, they're on that. If you're listening to any person that will not preach against sin and that will not preach the judgment of God, quit listening to these fake, purported Pharisees, hypocrites, because that's what they are. They're not men of God. They're hirelings. They want your money. And then they have the audacity to write book after book about Bible prophecy. But the truth is, they don't even believe it's applicable to them. They're going to be raptured out of here, and they're going to be gone. And you, bless your heart, like me, you're going to be left behind. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be left behind. I've cast my lot with God Almighty. I'm not going to be left behind. But I understand the Bible. We're going to see some very arduous and difficult times. But you see, I don't understand when it's about money. I don't understand that. That's why we don't ask for money. We're not going to ask for money. I don't understand why they do that. Well, I do. I mean, I don't understand it in the spirit. They want to grow and build an empire, an earthly kingdom, and live a life of opulence. If whoever you're listening to, and I don't care who it is, does not consistently warn you against sin and sinning and the judgment of God, quit listening to these hirelings. They're hurting you. They're hindering you. They are encroaching against God's plan and will for your life. I don't want to be in the number. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of Man, I have made thee therefore a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words at my mouth and give them warning from me. Let me put that in simplistic terms. I warn you today in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, you must cease from sin and sinning and prepare for the judgment of God. Prepare. Amos 4:11. O Israel, prepare to meet thy God. Preparation. Without a doubt. Events. Sudden events, unexpected events are going to take place. Suddenly, unexpectedly, things are going to happen, and they're not going to be pretty. I don't know when God will suffer, allow, tolerate me to change from encouraging you, but once that changes, don't be offended at the clarity, the purity, and the unyielding disposition of the Holy Ghost in warning the people of God. In warning the people of God. We're getting into a state and a place, and that's why we've got to pray for our president and pray for this upcoming election. God help us. God help this nation. This nation is dying. You know what? People are buying more guns. We're getting ready for a civil war. We're getting ready for it. Don't get in the throes of it. If you can get out of the city, get out. Get into the suburbs. Get out into the rural America. If you can, get away. Defunding the police department? What's going on? You've got to have law. You've got to have order. You've got to have law and you've got to have order. You cannot have anarchists. You cannot have anarchists running this nation. You talk about pandemonium. You talk about fear. You talk about people being afraid to go out to even buy groceries or use public transportation. See, the Bible is coming to pass. Isaiah 3:12. Children will oppress. Women will rule. These kids don't have a clue about what's going on. Ask any 20-year-old, tell me about the Emancipation Proclamation. Huh? Duh. What's that? What are you talking about? You see, they purposely have quit teaching history so you can't know the truth. Ask them. Ask them. Ask them about the Emancipation Proclamation. Ask young black people, what did Abraham Lincoln do for you? He was white. He was a Republican. What did he do for you? They don't know. They don't know because they don't want people to know history. Therefore, the statement, if you do not remember, remind yourself of history and past events, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, we're doomed to repeat it regretfully. Well, now that I have fixed that, addressed that, spoken to that, let's get back into the Holy Word of God today, the Holy Scriptures. But before I do so, I want to play a beautiful song entitled Right Now. What an apropos song where we are in America right now. Right now, not tomorrow, but right now, God is able to heal and mend the brokenness of your heart and life. Amen. We want to turn back again to Jeremiah chapter 30, beginning at verse 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast. How many times have I heard that about myself, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her on heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. We were talking last Tuesday, speaking from Luke 4, verse 18, about how the Spirit of God was upon Christ, And he gives us a litany of why. Notice he said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. Let me paraphrase that for you. Jesus said, I can do these things because the Spirit of God is upon me. And then he says what those things are, a litany of things, to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So this is why he uses the phraseology, because, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ because he strengthens me. You see, the because is telling us what we are able to accomplish. As I said last Tuesday, many of you have been grievously wounded and you've been hurt in your life terribly. Lately, many of you have been discouraged. I said months ago, some of you, many of you will remember this. I even did a newsletter. You're going to sense a time of being more sequestered, becoming more reserved, set aside, because the Holy Spirit of God is wanting your undivided attention. You're being sequestered by the Spirit of God for the purpose of knowing the plan, the mind, and the will of God. You think you're isolating yourself because of the wounds. But God is using the wounds to get you into the place he has willed for your life. A wounded person, let's take a soldier, a military person who has been wounded in battle. They're on the field. They've been terribly wounded. That wound causes everything in their lives to cease. Everything stops. That wound causes them to become sequestered. That wound causes them to become isolated. God is sequestering, isolating you for the purpose of restoration, the purpose of restoring you. Now, you during the wound, many times you won't see that. You won't even think about that. You won't even understand that. It doesn't make sense. And you're focused on the wound. Listen to me. I'm doing some good preaching now, some good teaching now. You're focused on the wound, and rightfully so. In the natural, if it was a wounded arm, a wounded leg, an abdomen wound, a wound in the head, everything stops because of the wound. But God can take that wound and use it to refocus you, get you refocused. God does not have to refocus, we do. God never ceases to be unfocused. He's always focused in every sense of the word to the degree he can number the very hairs on your head. What a divine analogy Jesus used, even the very hairs on your head. The wound. Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. There's no medication. There's no vial, syringe, patch. There's nothing mankind can create to heal a broken heart. Only God can heal a broken heart. A broken heart can be very, very painful. A broken heart can be terribly, terribly stressful. When we speak of a broken heart, we're speaking about the inner man, the spiritual man that has been so terribly and grossly wounded. But God says through his son Jesus, I can heal the brokenhearted. I can mend the depth and the breadth and the length of that wound. I can heal it because I'm God. Exodus 15:26, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. God says, I'm a healer. David in Psalms 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth thee of thine iniquities, who healeth thee of all thy diseases. We have diseases. I'm not talking about pancreatitis, a sexually transmitted disease. I'm not talking about a liver disease. I'm talking about the disease of emotional wounds. Healeth thee of all thy diseases. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Regretfully, we do not worship God. We fail to demonstrate thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. You're not thanking God for the problem. You're thanking God for his will. Let me quote that again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now think about what he says there. In everything give thanks. You're not thanking God for the wound. You're not thanking God for the hurt. You're thanking God, this is the will of God concerning me. This is God's will in my life right now because it concerns me. Don't ever think God is not concerned. Paul said, concerning you. Let me give you a few verses in Psalms 119, verse 50. This is my comfort and my affliction because thy word hath quickened me. If you're not in God's word, how can the Holy Ghost quicken God's word in your life? How can he do that? You have to be in the word for it to quicken you. If you're not in the word, God cannot quicken that word in your heart. So many people claim to be Christians. They never read, study, immerse, baptize themselves in the Word of God. Never. Too busy. Ain't got time for the Word. I got this. I got to do this. I got to do that. No. Stop and spend time in the Word of the Most High God. Watch this. To confirm what I said a moment ago, Psalms 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was wounded, before I was hurt, before I was injured, I was going astray. Think about what the psalmist is saying here. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Psalms 84, verse 10, 11. David is talking about, God says, I will therefore withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now think about that. The Lord God is a sun. He is a shield. He will give what? Grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So let me ask you this question. If you're going your own way, you're going in your own direction, God will not withhold an injury or a wound from you, because he knows that wound, that injury, that bruise is going to turn your attention, your focus back to Christ. The Lord God, Psalms 84:11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So God says, I'm not going to withhold this trial. I'm not going to withhold this adversity. I'm not going to withhold this wound. I'm not going to withhold this injury. I'm going to let it come to fruition. Thus, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We don't glory in the injury. We don't glory in the wound. But we realize whatever's taking place in our lives is because God is working on us. Psalms 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Tie that in again to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice the word used twice, concern, concerning. Psalms 138:8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God is concerned about you. Now, I'm going to go back to Psalms 119, verse 67. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see, God wants you to learn something from this. I say this so many times. I've made this statement 1,000 times, and I probably started making this statement 30 years ago. Don't ever go through a circumstance, a situation, and not learn something from it. For God's sake, when you go through a trial, when you go through adversity, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever you're going through, learn something from it. Don't go through it and learn nothing. Don't go through it and learn absolutely nothing. You know the sad thing is? People fail to graduate. They fail to go to the next level. They fail to go to the next dimension wherein Christ wants to promote them. God, did you know God wants to promote you? God wills to promote you. Too many times we fail the test, thus we cannot be promoted. Now, I've quoted 3 or 4 times here, Psalms 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. The affliction, the wound, the bruise is to bring you back. Why do you think God wounded and bruised Israel, or allowed them to be wounded and bruised? It was so they would turn back and repent. Get right with God. Now, Psalms 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. This is good. You say, well, Brother Langford, it's not good for me right now. I'll tell you that. It's hard. It's difficult. Folks, I've been in the crucible for 6 months. I'm just now coming out of it. Coming out of it. The devil has fought me. He has increased the adversity, the attacks. I'm not ignorant of the devil's devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see, if Satan can get an advantage, you become ignorant. The word ignorant there means you don't know, not knowing. lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You can never allow the devil to take advantage of you to the degree that you become ignorant of his devices. Listen. I know people today don't want to face trials and hardship and adversity, but I'm here to tell you, all great men, women of God of faith have always gone through great, great, great adversity. Great adversity. Satan brings it. That's what the Great Tribulation is about. God has nothing to do with that in the context of what's happening. The Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. Look at the suffering that Paul endured, a messenger from Satan to buffet him. Think about that statement, 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3. Excuse me, 7. Because of the abundance of the revelations that were given unto me, Satan sent a messenger to Paul, lest he should be exalted above measure. 2 Corinthians 11:30. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities, my afflictions, my weaknesses, my anomalies, my aberrations. Paul said, I glory in those things. Why did he glory? He said, so the power, the anointing of God would rest upon me. We don't understand wounds and bruises like we should. My sufferings in life have made me what I am to this day. I know people don't like me. They don't like my deliverance. They don't like my personality. They don't like my demeanor. They don't like a shirt I wear. They don't like the beard I wear, the way I comb my... I don't care. Get your eyes off of the man. Get your eyes on the word. Get your eyes on the message. Not the messenger. I know I say things like Trump ticks people off. They just don't like it. I'm flawed, okay? But I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach you the truth. As I've said scores and scores and scores and scores of time, I am amazed, I marvel that God allows flawed men to preach a perfect gospel. Why does God do that? I'm flawed. Look at me. I'm flawed. My speech, my vocabulary, personage, personality, demeanor. Yet God has said, I want you to preach my word. And I want to be faithful at my watch. I want to be faithful at my post. And preaching, decreeing, declaring, an uncompromising word from God Almighty. So when you get in this place, David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Don't go through this trial and not learn anything. I'm going to make some of you mad, but that's okay. Quit praying for God to change your spouse. Pray God change you. Pray God change you. Oh, no. You see, I don't have any issues. Oh, what deception. We all have issues. We all have drama. We try to keep it suppressed. But somehow we take the idea, the mindset that, well, it's not me, it's her. It's not me, it's him. When the truth is, it's all of us. It's all of us. It's all of us. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God lets you go through certain things to learn certain things. He lets you go through things to learn things. Learn, learn, learn. Philippians 4, 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. I don't know if I said verse 10 or verse 11, Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. I have learned. Think about that phrase. I have learned. I have learned 2 plus 2 is 4, 2 plus 3 is 5. I have learned those things. I have learned. In whatever state I find myself, to be content. Paul did not decree, God blessed me, God unctionized me, God gave me all this grace. He said, I've learned. Man, am I ever learning? I've learned. You see, this is a generation of untold knowledge, but they don't learn anything. They don't receive anything. Some people go through the same trial over and over and over and over. They fail to learn and mature and graduate from the first grade to the second, then from the second to the third, and so on and so on and so on. And then some of you graduate from the 12th grade. You get a degree. You get a master's degree. You get a doctorate. You just keep growing in grace and in knowledge. That's one of the most disappointing things to me in evangelical Pentecostals. Well, we've arrived. We got the Holy Ghost. We pray in the Spirit. We utter prophecies. We have words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We have discernment. Do you really think that's all there is? That's it? Folks, that happened 2,000 years ago. That happened 2,000 years ago, Acts chapter 2, and read the book of Acts. They were always prophesying and discerning and seeing the things of God. But Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is your knowledge truly increasing in the depth and the breadth of God's word? Are you really learning? I shared Tuesday in closing last week the little revelation I got there in Genesis 48, how that Jacob's faith overrode the will of man, Joseph's will, that Jacob would bless the younger over the older. And it troubled Joseph. It troubled him. It troubled him to the degree he tried to change Jacob's hands. He tried to stop it. That was Joseph's will. But by faith, Jacob prayed the greater blessing on the younger than the older. Some of you will understand that. Some of you won't understand that. But I saw in that, if I can have faith, let me say this. You all know the devil uses people. He uses people. He uses corrupt leaders, congressmen, senators, judges to destroy our nation. But if we can have faith, we can overcome that will of man. If we have faith. That's why faith is so significant. That's why faith is so important. If we can have the faith, we can move mountains. We can move mountains. You're wounded. You're bruised. You need healing. Let me slow down for just a moment. If you will spend time in the Word of God, God's Word will begin to heal and mend all of that. There are days I spend an hour in the Word of God. Some days I spend two, some days 4, some days 6. There was a time after the 40-day fast, I spent 14, 15, 16 hours a day in the Bible. You say, you didn't do that. That's ridiculous. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. You could ask my wife. I would hit the floor 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, and I would still be in the Bible 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the night, morning. Why? Hungry. You will know more and more about God as you spend time in His presence and in His Word. You'll never fully understand God because our little finite brains just can't handle that. But I'll tell you what, when you spend time in His Word, you see His Word, it reproves, it rebukes, it instructs, it corrects, it heals, it binds. God's Word, it does so much, and yet people don't spend time in it. Brother David Hughes said to me the other day, he said, I thank God for your fidelity to the Word of God. You just don't get away from the Word. Well, the Word is Jesus. I'm not going to get away from Jesus. The devil's trying to get me away from Him, but I'm not leaving the Master. No, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I love Him. He saved me. I owe Him absolutely everything in my life. I owe to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am where I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. You hear me say it? If you're ever riding down the road and you see a turtle on a fence post, no, somebody put him there. He didn't get there on his own. I'm like the turtle on the fence post. I didn't get here on my own. I got here because this is what God has done. This is what God has built. This is what God has willed for my life. And God's will for every one of us is different and very significant. God picks, calls, chooses, ordains, and anoints. Now let me say this. If God didn't call you and God anoint you, you won't make it. I don't say that to be ugly or cruel to anyone, but you won't make it in ministry. You have to be God called. Now, the devil can build a ministry. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about those who carry the true mantle of the Holy Spirit. The reason you can recognize or how you can recognize the true anointing is by what's happening in your life, by who you're listening to. Is it transforming you? Is it renewing you? Is it empowering you? Is it giving you revelation? Is it giving you understanding? Or are you just hearing words and they don't really mean anything? That's the difference. That's the divine significance. And you see, God has allowed this wound. God has allowed this bruise, this contusion. God has allowed this. Why? So that you might run to Him, get in the secret place of the Most High, get in the refuge of God. He will restore. God, you know, that's one of the greatest things about God. He is a God of divine restoration. David said, He restoreth my soul in Psalms 23. He restoreth my soul. My God, who in the world can restore a broken heart? Who? And you know, you can go back. I can go back to 12 years of age. And I can actually pinpoint times of brokenness and times of being wounded. I can point it out. I can identify the times when someone or something, a circumstance, a situation wounded me, bruised me. Listen, if anybody ever had the right to say I quit, Job, the Apostle Paul, so many of the great patriarchs of faith could have said, I've had enough. I've had enough. You see, strong spiritual people, they never oscillate. They don't vacillate. They're not in today. They're out tomorrow. They are consistent. See, consistency is what we're looking for in Christ. I've played golf for 40 years. You want a consistent golf swing. You want to duplicate that swing every time, every time, every time, every time, whether it's a pitching wedge or a five iron. It doesn't matter. You want the same swing, and you'll get the same results. If it varies an eighth of an inch, a sixteenth of an inch, it will change the flight of the ball, the curve of the ball, the trajectory of the ball. It'll change everything. That's why you have grooves on the clubs. You can tell, a good golfer can tell when he's a groove too high, he's a groove too low. He can tell. He can tell. Engines. You can see the peak. Is it 5,800 RPMs? Is it 6,200 RPMs? Is it 6,700 RPMs? What's the peak? Now they have computers that do that for you. But there's a place, a position, a posture, and the timing, setting the timing. When you get the greatest performance out of what that engine is able to do, and if you can't fine-tune it, you're living subpar. If God cannot fine-tune your life, you're living below and beneath. If he can fine-tune it, if he can perfect that which concerns you, man, you're going to really be rolling. You're going to be rolling. I love to roll. I love, not like I used to, but I love speed, and I still love horsepower. There's no greater power than the power of the Word of God, because that power and that Word is what will help you. God's Word has revolutionized and changed my whole life in ministry, and it just keeps changing. It just keeps changing. Why? Because His Word. I'm not into the things of secular ministry. I'm into growth. I'm into desirous of the knowledge of the Lord. And you got these guys running around, you know, the ten toes, the ten crowns, the seven heads, and they're just pontificating on stuff that really doesn't have anything to do with your walk with God. I know those things. I study those things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about allowing God's Word to permeate your heart, and it changes you so you can get through this valley. You can get over the mountain. You can endure the trial and the suffering. 90% of the stuff that's preached today is just scraps. It's garbage. It's not the egg. It's the eggshell. That's all they're giving you is the eggshell. They say, well, I gave you some eggs. No, they didn't. They gave you eggshells. They took the egg, the yolk, and the white. They took it. Because that's not what they care about. When the sun sets today, I want to know in my heart, have I reached out to a lost soul? Have I ministered to the body of Christ? Have I sought to edify the listener and lift you up? Lift you up. Not pour on you negativity. I laugh. 3 months ago, it was the end of the world. It was the end. Millions are going to die from COVID. Yes, I made preparation. Yes, we canceled the conference. You got to use some common sense. See, those people, instead of using common sense, became sensationalists, and they sensationalize everything. Power grids going out. Internet's going down. Starvation. Yeah, that's going to happen. Yeah. Read Revelation chapter 6. It'll take a day's wages to buy a loaf of bread. Have you seen that yet? If you make $200 a day, have you seen a loaf of bread cost $200 yet? Well, what does that tell you? We're not there yet. But it also tells me we're getting there. I believe in preparation. I believe if you don't prepare, you're foolish. You're like the foolish virgins. I believe we need to prepare. I believe we need to get ready. Ready, because things are going to change. And as I pulled out David Wilkerson's book, I was startled. I was almost shocked and stunned. The first page, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth." Startled. Sudden, unexpectedly. The Lord gave me the two words, suddenly, unexpectedly. I mean, how close is that? A book written 35 years ago. I'm trying to get you ready for what is really coming. These sensationalist, false teachers, false prophets are misguiding, misleading, and misdirecting people. And it's because they have an agenda. Oh, I could call the names. You know who they are. I don't have to call the names. You know who they are. Go back and reread some of the things they said. This was the end. I never fail to be amazed at the Federal Reserve, how they just keep. I read last night, saw last night, messing dealing with corporate bonds. Bonds that the government sells and corporate bonds and corporations, how they're going to buy corporate bonds so that the corporations might buy federal bonds. I'm like, this stuff is crazy. It's absolutely, it's asinine to witness. And I'm thinking, how many more tools do they have in the toolbox? This thing should have collapsed a long time ago. But it's not time. But when it's God's time, it will collapse. It will collapse. We love you. We bless you. We thank you for your love, your prayerful support, your financial support. We are humbled that you would stand with the voice of evangelism. And I pray that we do encourage, strengthen, and edify your life as a believer. I'm going to pick this back up tomorrow. I sense we're getting to a place where God's going to change the course, change the direction, and we're going to begin to teach on the peril of the darkness. Don't get discouraged. Don't become beleaguered and bewildered. Thank God that the Lord gives warning because He loves you. I always warn my children before I ever meet it out any discipline. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. In the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.